You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kenny on Sunday for the last hour with the CCA Star Tournament. We were talking about, you know, the limit changes and, you know, where we're at as far as fish populations up and down the coast. And, you know, I had a listener want to know about, you know, Bill was talking about the reproduction on these speckled trout or spotted sea trout, whatever you want to call them. We just call them speckled trout. But we'll get to that. I've got Jeff Coat now, but I'll elaborate on this a little more when I get time. Good morning, Mr. Mike Jeffcoat. What's up?
Not much, Mickey. What you up to this morning?
Not a lot, man. Just rolling with the punches.
Yeah, I hear that. Me too.
Bobbing and weaving. Little Joe Frazier action.
Punches are getting further up nowadays. I don't know if you can dodge all of them now.
Yeah, buddy. Well, what's up with you?
I'll just going with the flow like you.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
Crawling back in the saddle and don't get after them spotted sea trout you were talking about.
Spotted sea trout.
Yeah. Pretty good trout bite going on in Minnesota.
Is there? Well, that's good.
Decent one. It's like everywhere else, it's weather related.
Sure.
So, and here comes that wind again. So. Oh, man. But, well, something I was going to talk to you about. I can't even remember what it was now. Oh, about them dadgum flounder. Man, you see that stuff on that East Coast and flounder they're catching?
Nuh-uh. No, I hadn't seen.
They, I don't know what's up with these flounder, but, you know, their flounder runs on up there, the Virginias and all that.
Right.
And, man, I saw a taxidermy yesterday mounting or finishing up a mount on one, $1,375.
Whoa, that's bigger than our state record. What's ours? $13,200, I think, in Texas.
I think something like that.
I don't know what yours is, but, man, that's
Louisiana.
That's a slab.
Yeah, slab. This one is a slab. I mean, he was holding him in. It was just unbelievable. But, no, I don't know what Louisiana is. You'll have to Google that one for us.
Yeah, that's
a lot of fish.
What'd you say it was? 1375?
Yeah, I think something
so
like that.
So that's about a 1312 then in ounces. Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big flatfish there, buddy.
Big. So I'd like to catch one like that. That'd be fun. No, I've been seeing all kinds of videos on them. I mean, they catch them on rod and reel and they gigging them. You know, and they call them flukes there, and they don't call them flounders.
Yeah.
East Coast, but, man, they're catching a lot of them. But no, I'm ready to crawl in the saddle, like I said. And I go back Sunday morning. Getting back after it. So.
Y'all's flounder is a 1306.
1306.
Yeah, it was caught by Gary Hargis. He caught the fish at east of South Pass in June of 1998.
East of South Pass.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's a picture of him holding up. It doesn't look that big. Well, he's not shoving it through the lens.
Right.
You he's know, holding it right up next to him.
Yeah. Now, 98, they wasn't photoshopping as much back in them days.
Cameras were different, too. These cell phone cameras enlarge things anyway.
Yeah, they have.
They really do.
East of South Pass. So he's back up in there towards Redfish Bay, I guess, somewhere, Blind Bay up in there.
Right. I
mean, only thing I can figure where he's at. But there's a lot of country east of South Pass. Which
well,
is,
I'll tell you, you know, I've I had a customer catch a flounder. I don't know, it was a little over 9 pounds, about 9 1/4, and I caught a big one on a mirror lure trout fishing. Just, it was a fluke, you know, and it was 9 9 3/4, and they're massive. I can only imagine what a 13's like, you know, to put one in your hands, and I was waiting, you know, both times we were waiting, didn't have a dip net or anything. We had to grab those fish, and, they were... You talk about some doormats. My goodness.
Well, I've been fortunate to catch some big flounder. But that one I had on, I've probably talked about it before. Had him on in Octave Pass. Caught him on one of them sand flats, but I was sitting in 20-foot of water when I hooked him, and he got in that deep water, and I took a butt whooping that fish. And I got him up there, and the customer and all was just flabbergasted about how big that fish was, and got him kind of getting him up there where we get a net on him, and he just opened his old mouth and spit it in my face. So I never had to hook in him, you know.
Boy, I had that happen with a big trout one time, you know, boat fishing. And, you know, we didn't really, well, the customer, you know, is a good fisherman, but, he didn't know what was going on. He said, I know I had a hit, and it felt like a small fish shaking its head, and then it just went heavy. Well, what had happened? We were fishing a well pad, and he hooked a sand trout, about a 10, 12-inch sand trout, and then a huge speckled trout swallowed it. And he reeled it in like dead bait. I thought he had a clump of oysters.
Right.
And I seen that fish surface out there. It looked like a sea monster. I'm going, my God. I couldn't believe how long that trout was. I immediately grabbed the net, and I put it down the water, and he's gliding it to me. And that trout got about 4 feet from the net and just spit that sand trout up and then just sunk into the deep like a submarine, just right for everybody to see it. Let him, you know, let us all see him.
Them floundered.
There ain't no telling how big that trout was. I can't even put a weight or a length on it. It was so huge. And, hey, that sand trout looked like a plucked chicken. It didn't have a scale left on it.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, I have a, we'd be fishing them bull reds in the fall up in them shallow flats. Well, they really up in there mashing on everything. They'll be able to school them little 10, 12 inch sand trout in there like you saying, hook one of them up. He ain't got a chance to get back to the boat. But you ain't got a chance of hooking that redfish neither, because he crushes him. Like I said, he gets to the boat, he just spits him back in the face. So
yeah they but just suck it down head first, and they just crush it as it goes through their crushers in their throat. And there's not a scale left on those fish.
No, you talking about that on them flounder. That's talking about having that net, that water. That's what me and Brent Ballet, we tournament fishing every year at the football tournament. We have that net ready, because them flounder is going to, I mean, 1 out of 10 of them, you're not going to get a hook in him, and he's going to spit it right. As soon as he gets to that boat, he's going to spit that jig right in your bait. So.
Right.
But, you know, especially when that current's strong and we're kind of fishing deep, you know, when we're having to fish a half ounce, I'm a 3/8. I generally don't have to go to a half ounce. That's during the fall when I have to do that. But 3/8 is, you know, pretty typical during the summertime if you're fishing the river system and you've got an outgoing and river current too, you know, you're not going to get a 1/4 ounce down there to them. So
Right.
But, yeah, you better be ready to be on your toes, especially when you know it's a heavy fish and you just got one, you know, you just got one hook set on him. I mean, a lot of times you can't catch up enough, reel enough slack to try to set the hook again.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I'm all about some of that flounder fishing.
Yeah, and flounder are notorious for holding on to the tail right behind the hook, too, when you're jig fishing.
Oh, yeah, man. That's the same thing.
Especially waiting. But yeah, Blaine showed me something years ago. This is back in the 80s. He'd lose one waiting, and when he'd let go of it right there, get it up to him, and they'd, you know, just let go of the tail. Well, they'd go right to the bottom, right in front of you where you're standing, and he'd sit there and just doodle sock, bouncing that jig off the bottom. That flounder took it again, then he'd catch him, put him on a stringer.
Yeah.
So look at that.
That's the crazy thing about flounder, and we're the same way. You know, you can miss one, and you know it's a flounder, you missed him. Just be patient. Throw it back in there. He's going to be laying right there a foot or so where he just missed him at. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to catch him.
Boy, they used to stack up in the fall along that river mouth where Trinity came out into Trinity Bay, and we'd wait them sandbars on the edge of the channel back when the channel was deep. You know, back then it was 8 and 10 foot deep in the middle of it coming out in the bay. And we'd throw up channel on the outgoing tide, and all them schools of shad are coming out of the river. And we just tickle those tails along the bottom, and those flounder just stacked up on that drop-off on that ledge. And you just run it over across their back, and they just swim up and get it and come to you. Because, they, you know, they were all facing outwards, and they just, they'd come get it, and you wouldn't even feel the bump. It'd just go slack, you know, because they're picking it up coming to you, you know, the direction you're reeling it. And, man, it was nothing to everybody to stand there in the afternoons when trout fishing would get slow. We'd go catch flounder and catch 10, 20 flounder apiece. It's crazy.
Yep. Well, that's, you know, that's how it is in Venice, you know, and a lot more people have got involved with this flounder fishing.
Oh, yeah. Man, it's like a national holiday when they open flounder season back up here after they shut it down. Oh, my goodness.
It's like right there where you had in your studio at. The most pictures I saw in there roll over past. That's crazy.
Isn't that amazing how people lined up in that pass? Steve Lyles had those put on there and gave them to me.
That's something else.
I
remember as a kid, us going down there. No telling how many flounder come out of that pass.
Rock and roll over pass. That's what we named it one night. Somebody was backed up a van there and had all them speakers in it. This was back in the day when people didn't have sound systems.
Right.
They were playing loud rock music all night long, and everybody catching fish.
You know, I was thinking
the run
about
was on.
I don't know why I was thinking about it. I was thinking about, you know, them guys wading the mouth of that thing and sitting on them pilings out there. They'd swim out there and crawl up on top of them pilings.
Yeah, old Gary Frugier used to do that. He's caught so many giant trout doing that.
I wonder what the biggest trout's ever been caught there.
I don't know. There's been some monsters caught there, you know, back when people didn't exploit themselves like they do nowadays.
Right.
They'd catch
fish
like that and zip them lips up.
Yeah, they couldn't wait to go scale him and put him in a frying pan.
Yeah, no joke.
There wasn't no such thing as filleting back in.
No, I remember when everybody used to – I remember when my dad and them, I was little, and they'd be out on the third bar, and I couldn't get out there. I was, you know, too young. But they'd catch a big trout, and they'd wade back to me. I'd wade out to them and grab it and carry it in, and I would gut and gill it and throw it on ice for them.
You bet.
And when you get home, you just scrape them, you know, scale them, and then cook them whole, cut the head off and cook them whole.
Yep. So my daddy used to wear me out because first time I saw that fillet stuff, I was a big old kid on Sam Rayburn, and he was guiding up there. And, I mean, go catch. There ain't no tellings. He'd take nine bags that's 3 dozen to a bag, crappie fishing, and just and come back in and he had make us scale and gut them, cut the heads off of them. Yeah, but that's the first place, boy, and he was, I mean, that was a no-no to him. That was a waste.
Remember when the old-timers, they used to freeze their smaller fish in milk cartons?
Oh, yeah.
Fill it up with water and freeze them in those waxed milk cartons.
My daddy and, they had them old wax tubs that you could buy that had the lid that pressed down in there, had a little groove in it. They'd go shrimping in Trinity Bay. I'll never forget when I was a kid, we'd go to Crowley's and go shrimping. They'd come back in, everybody gang up and head all them shrimp.
Head all them shrimp and then put them up in those cartons like that, those tubs. That's old school.
That's old school.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, I got to run, man. I hope you find them trout you're looking for today. If somebody wants to call you about coming over.
832-338-9376. Catch us on the web at RJ Hunting Fishing.
All right, buddy. Well, Mike, have a good one. I'll talk to you Saturday. Catch him up, man.
All right,
brother.
Later.
All right, it's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
I never saw the end in sight.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 520 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go down to G-Town. Let's check in with Captain James Plogg this morning. James, good morning. How are you, man?
Yo, Mick. What's up, buddy?
What's going on?
Working on them night moves, man.
Gotta get them.
Huh?
Gotta get them.
Trying to tie up right quick.
Tying up.
Tide's low this morning again.
You already over to Pelican?
Huh?
You already pulled into Pelican?
No, I'm at a secret spot, bud. Secret spot.
Oh, okay, yeah. No such thing. No such thing.
Ain't that a fact? Let me tell you something. If you didn't land on them yesterday, you wasn't fishing nowhere. You better land it on them because you wasn't going to move and go nowhere.
Man,
and that's
gotta...
weird, dude.
You got low water this morning, but you got a high, you know, around 7:30. It's a 1.7. It's almost a 2 foot incoming.
Yeah, it rips, man. But hey, you know what? I guess I don't know, Mickey. I guess Monday, the full moon, the day of the full moon. I'm just assuming. I could be wrong. That was probably the highest spring tide of the year, and against that front, because I didn't fish Monday because of the front. Actually, I played at Memorial Monday. But anyway, I couldn't believe how high the tide was. After the front, you know, all that north wind and all that stuff, and I did get northeast, but the water got super high.
Yeah, it pumped in. You had a 95% moon Monday.
Yeah, it was super high. Tuesday,
I think, was what, the pink moon or whatever they were calling it?
And I don't know, Mickey. It looked like when it went down, it was just the pollution moon. You know, when it gets down low.
Hey, when it goes down over there in the west from my house looking back towards Houston, it's, boy, it is pollution moon. That rain.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Yeah, it might have been pink, but it could have been orange. But I don't know what the hell it was, but it was a different color. But Tuesday, the fishing was real good. Nobody fished. Man, and we caught them everywhere. When we caught like 60 fish Tuesday. We didn't catch anything good. No good ones. I'm still trying to catch some good ones, but we ain't caught none. And then same deal. You either catch one on a jig or catch one on top water. I don't think we caught on anything different. And yesterday was hard. We lost that water. And even though the current run real hard, the tide never really, like, got up, you know. I mean, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't terrible fishing, but it wasn't like Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we blew a lot of fish. I was listening to Bill about them little funky bites, and it was the same way. I mean, I don't know how many of my guys lost. I lost, you know, legit, you know, had hook yoking on them, probably 5 fish. And so, you know, we probably blew another probably 10. And we had some nice trout, you know, 18, 19, 20, caught nothing big. But, and then my guys had to go. That's my Katie Ruthen guys. They don't stay very long. Yeah. We quit at like straight up 12 o'clock. I don't know. I think there might have been a major right there at middle of the day or something. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't do a lot of moving around. You know, I took my best shot where we started out Tuesday, where we caught most of our fish. And they weren't all legal trout. I mean, we caught probably 60 fish. And, I mean, if I was counting, we caught close to 30, you know, legal trout, nice trout. But and they didn't bite in there. We only caught 4 or 5 fish in there. And then I went to try to moving around. I'm like, man, is there a tournament or is it Saturday? Or there was just nowhere to get.
Yeah.
Hey, I done learned. You get a forecast of southeast 5 to 10 knots, you might as well cancel your trip. Like, I can't wait for tomorrow because there ain't nobody going. Yeah. I mean, you know the drill.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But overall, dude, I keep waiting for start pulling them April days where you get like 2 bites and catch one or none. And we really haven't had any. It's actually been a good April. I will say that as far as just catching. And some nice ones, you know. So I don't know what I'm going to do this morning. I got a little bit different plan I think I'm going to try to do. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Well,
but the little PV, the little pink gold PV is, man, still been my go-to. Or that clear little John. My guys yesterday, they ain't great at putting baits on, so I can put them a little John on there and it stays on there, that little clear one. And you know how that bite was yesterday, Mickey? You'd miss one. You'd feel a little bite. Man, I just missed that fish. Then you fish. And then you give up. You start burning it back, and he'll try to pile on it. And that happened a couple times yesterday. So that happened one time. I just turned around, threw straight back to him, and I didn't even think about jigging. I just smoked
it. Straight retrieve. There you go.
On a little PV, you know, it just comes straight. There ain't no pile or nothing.
No.
He piled on it. So I got my guys in there. I said, look, man, stand right here and throw right there. Where are you going? I said, man, I don't want to stand right here. You catch your fish right here. I said, because let me tell you something. If I stand right here, I'm going to catch them, and you ain't going to catch anything. So just stand right here and throw. And he just reel it straight in. He caught him a couple of nice trout right there. So it was okay. It wasn't great. Tuesday was really good fishing.
Well.
So I think that water, you know, a lot of that high water had a lot to do with it. So we'll see.
It's possible. You know how these fish are, man. Either the low water event changes everything for a few days, and then high water, when you bull up like that, it scatters them, and it, you know, it's...
Yeah. Well, that's why April's so hard, man. I mean, nothing's really ever the same. It's just, you know, from day to day, it's just not. You're like, you know, we get into May and June, it's, you know, calm in the morning, you know, comes up by noon, everything's the same. The tide might be different, but the weather is basically the same. So if you pattern them out, you kind of got them. So, but I don't know, man. It's not terrible. Hey, y'all have seen those greens at Memorial Monday. You better land on top of them or you're gone.
Rock hard.
Oh, Mickey, it was beautiful. Yeah, it was. See, all my guys supposed to fish with me Monday was Chip and my guys.
Right.
So I ended up playing golf with all the guys that we were supposed to be fishing Monday. I said, man, Monday ain't going to be no good, dude. So we all ended up playing golf at Memorial. So it was pretty fun.
You ever play golf with Rigamani and Brian anymore?
No, me and Rig, we play a couple times, but we need to set that up again. Yeah, that
y'all
was fun
need to. I'm not going to. I feel good. My body feels good after I quit playing golf.
Oh, come on, man. Let me take you down. It's no fun to feel good.
Bull corn, it ain't.
Oh, man. Well, but that's all I got, buddy. You know, it's like I say, it's, but that's, you know, I'm sure somebody's crushing them on some other kind of hard bait, but from what I can see, your best chances Like I tell my guys, I said, look, man, yeah, you can catch a fish on anything you throw out there, but if you're trying to catch numbers or trying to find a fish, you put you a little topwater on or put a jig on. I mean,
tops and tails.
Yeah. And if they're there, you're going to see it.
That's it. They're either up or down. Either way, 100%. You're going to catch them.
You may roll through there with a mirror lure or a hot rod or something and never get no bite, and you just walk through fish that, you know, you didn't get no bites on.
Yeah. I've seen that a million times.
I guarantee you have.
A million times.
Yeah, so that's it, buddy. Well, I better try to get out of here.
All right, roll on out of there. Get there. Get there and get them quick, man.
Yeah,
all
right, hey, one of my customers run into my car at the airport in New Orleans. I guess Wednesday? Yeah, I think Wednesday. Yeah, he ran into him at the airport. I guess that Zurich is this weekend, huh?
Yes. That starts today. The Zurich Classic.
He sure run into him. Well, all right, buddy, we put the roll out of here.
All right, throw him out a number, Plog. Somebody wants to get after it.
All right, brother. 409-771-7306.
All right, James. Have a good day. Catch him up.
All right, Mick. Thanks, buddy.
See you later. All right. All right, that's Captain Plog down in G-Town there at Tiki Island. Real quick, getting back to what I was talking about earlier about the spotted sea trout. A listener texted wanting to know what, you know, we were talking about with Bill to elaborate a little more on it. Well, you know, speckled trout, they reach sexual maturity at, you know, around age one. And most of the spawning, not to say it doesn't happen at other times, but on average, spawning takes place from April through September, you know, when the water temperatures range from 70 to 90 degrees. And these females, they can spawn multiple batches per season. And that's what we were talking about. The average fish will go probably 9 batches per season, like a 12-incher. They'll throw out 9 batches of a little over 300,000 eggs per batch. And that comes to over 2.5 million a year. That's just for a one-year-old fish. And it gets even more as the age classes increase. And a two-year-old, a 16-incher, will do about 750,000 eggs, which comes to about 700,000 eggs per batch, which comes to about 6.5 million a year. And as you go up the scale, it just increases that much more. You know, just say on average, just say a 25-inch fish, they can spawn up to, they can hatch 26 million eggs in a year's time. Now, survival rate of that, as far as after they hatch out, you know, they'll hatch within 24 to 30 hours with the water temperatures right and the salinity right. And, you know, the survival rate once they become a fingerling, if they even make it to that part, you know, fry, they go through fry and end up to a fingerling. And, you know, you're lucky if you can get a 1% ratio on that. But if you got enough fish doing that, your populations are going to come back considerably. And, you know, 2- and 3- and 4-year-old fish, they may make up the bulk of the spawning population. And that's what, you know, we're trying to protect with this middle slot here, where we can get more spawns. That's more your brood stock, the ones that spawn the most eggs in several batches a year like they were talking about. And then what happens is, you know, to make up the bulk of the spawning population, when spawning commences, males, they'll surround the females. And a lot of this takes place from dusk till dawn. Now, I have seen it happen during daylight hours. I witnessed it one time. I was fortunate enough to have a dead calm day and be on a reef where they were spawning. And I could see it, the way the males surround a big female while she's floating on top. And, but anyway, it's really an incredible event to see. But, when the spawning commences, the males, they'll surround those females, bumping or nudging the stomach of the females to induce them to release the eggs. And once they're released, those males will release their milt or sperm, whichever you want to call it, which will fertilize those eggs. And it'll make them buoyant, and those fertilized eggs, they'll hatch up, you know, anywhere from 20 to 24 hours, 30, at the most, and research indicates that spotted sea trout spawn between dusk and dawn and broadcast spawn within coastal bays, estuaries, and lagoons. And the peak spawning takes place around new and full moon periods when large tidal swings, you know, can carry those buoyant eggs and larvae into shallow seagrass beds or up in the marshes and nursery habitat, all that. What it does, it'll cover them from predators and abundant food resources. Because, you know, you got all these other small fish, you know, that live within the bay system that'll feed off that stuff. And that's why the survival rate is so low, because of the way they eat them. You know, like Richard was talking about, when those hybrid spawn, those gaspergula around like crazy, just eating all the eggs. But anyway, you know, salinity rates, as far as, you know, trout, meaning they can tolerate a wide range of salinity and have been found in salinities ranging from like 0.2 parts per thousands to 75 parts per thousands. So, in a lot of their habitat, they like to reside in shallow bays and estuaries near marsh edge, you know, like bayou mouths and things like that, or river mouths, and seagrass beds, oyster reefs, rock formations, and they all attract. And that's just normal structure for these fish to reside. And studies have revealed that there's a high degree of variability that exists in spotted sea trout growth rates in bays along the Texas coast. They can live, you know, to be 9 or 10 years of age. And they can reach lengths of more than 30 inches. And although rare, the oldest documented spotted sea trout in Texas was a male, and it was 25 inches in their survey, and it was a 12-year-old fish. So, and the males grow a lot slower than the females. You know, you can look these charts up. Just go to the Heart Research Institute, and that'll, if you want to print something off and have it for your records or whatever, but once you know it, you just know it. And I hope that helps the listener that wanted some information on that, kind of elaborate on what Bill and I were talking about. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no farther than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. They have them on display right behind the counter. You can check out all their different size bottles, plus all their regulators and diffusers. They refill your bottles there at the store. And if you're looking for wild-caught Gus shrimp, check them out at Boyd's. Anywhere from their 9, 12s, 15, 18s, all their different sizes, fresh, quality seafood at a fair price. And crawfish orders, you know, you can go to their website or what have you and reserve for an upcoming boil you have for a weekend or have something planned out. You can call them at 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 5:40 here in the Bayou City. Let's run back to G-Town, and let's check in with Captain Michael Marquez. We just call him Sharky. Michael, what's up?
What's up, buddy?
What's happening?
Oh, man, I'm beat up after the last couple of days.
Well.
We went way offshore.
Oh, did you?
Way offshore.
You went to the blue water then.
Yeah, we sure did. I got invited by a buddy of mine, Captain Danny, over. He runs the new Buccaneer over there, and he invited me to go out for his first 56 hour. And buddy, we were out there for 56 hours, Mickey.
Wow. Wow.
Golly. Yeah, we left on Monday and got back last night. Man, I don't think I got home until like 11 o'clock
last night. No wonder you sound a little foggy this morning.
I'm a little foggy, brother. I'm a little foggy. I'm a little dazed and confused. But I'll tell you what, awesome experience, man. It's been a lot of years since I've been on a party boat. This one was kind of cool because there was only like 13 of us on there. Dang. And, you know, half of them were captains, you know, right. Around here. It was kind of like a real small deal. Man, we ended up with a boat limit of yellowfin tuna, which was awesome. We were catching them on Halcos primarily.
What's a boat limit?
We had 13 times three.
Yeah.
39 yellowfin.
There you go. That's a pile probably, up.
Yeah, 250 blackfin tuna.
Oh, my goodness.
Also a pile. And, gosh, man, we did some deep dropping stuff. I didn't bring an electric reel, but, you know, I was trying to hand crank from 600 foot, which was.
No, that's. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Now you know how the old timers felt.
Yeah, golly, I can imagine. Man, it was awesome. We caught they caught tile fish. I ended up with a couple scamp grouper myself messing around. And, gosh, we caught a little bit of everything, Mickey. Boat limit over a million snappers, so 20. Was that 25 fish a piece, you know, times 13? It was a real massacre out there, buddy. It was a real massacre.
What a bloody mess.
It was. It was a bloody mess, man. But they got it going on there, man. He had a Captain Danny was awesome. His crew was fantastic, man. He had like six deckhands for 13 people, so it was
Boy, that's service.
It was, man. It was really, really. It was.
What happened?
For sure, I really do. You know, we got to go out there and catch, you know, fish for six people, and those guys got to go out there on a regular basis and catch fish for, you know, 50 sometimes. So.
Yeah, how many is that? How many will they put on a boat like that?
You know, for an overnight trip, I'm not sure, and I don't want to speak on it because I'm really not sure, Mickey. But for, you know, they'll do like, I know for a fact they'll do 100 people snapper trips.
Good
because
Lord.
He was telling me, you know, that they have to get out there some days and catch like 200 snapper, you know, which is two apiece. So, man, I mean, that's a lot of fish, man. Sometimes I'm grinding out, you know, trying to find my last two snapper with six people, so. You know, I mean, that's not super happens all the time, but towards the end of the season, you know, and weather's rough or whatever, there's days where it's tough, you know. So, golly, imagine that times 100 people, worrying about 100 people. That's a lot of people, man.
Yeah, it is. A lot of fish, a lot of people, a lot of pressure.
Fish, a lot of people.
A lot of bait.
And yes, a lot of everything. So. It was a good experience, man. I'm glad I had the opportunity to go, and I'll be on the water the next 3 days. It looks like it's going to get pretty nasty, man, on Saturday, high wind, Sunday.
Well, they're
nasty.
Calling for winds to really come up this afternoon and blow tomorrow and Saturday. So.
Oh, gosh, man.
Yeah, that's what I said when I saw that forecast this morning.
Golly.
Yeah, maybe
really
they're wrong.
Break,
they've been kind
man.
Of missing it here lately. On the days they call for it to be calm, it's windy, and in days of windy, it's calm. So,
yeah, golly, who knows, man? I tell you, it was real nasty going out there on Monday. It was kind of calming down by Tuesday, and then yesterday was real nice out there.
Yeah.
So we only had one real nice, you know, one real nice calmish day, but the first. Man, going out there was nasty. It was nasty.
How big a boat is that y'all went on?
I think somebody was telling me it was like 100 foot or 90 foot, something
oh,
like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is nice because, I mean, you could go in. I mean, I'm pretty sure we left and it was like six footers on Monday. Yeah, I mean, I'll be back at the dock, buddy. You ain't got to worry about me going out at no 6 footers.
No.
Yeah, it was pretty snotty getting out there, man. We slow rolled and took our time, and but man, that's nice to be able to fish. You know, he was saying that I think they fish like almost every day, if not every day, of snapper season. Like, had like 2 days off or something. I mean, that's crazy to be able to get out there and, you know, he's like, shoot, man. I mean, they'll go in like 7 footers and stuff. You know, I mean. That's pretty crazy to have that a boat, you know, that can handle that is nice, you know. I was like, shoot, I got to get me one of these, except I'm going to get me one of these and do like, you know, like 6-person trips on it. It's going to be really expensive to go for those 6 people. Really, really, really expensive. Oh, goodness.
Well, that's cool. Well, hey, man, if somebody wants to get with you and get with you guys and do some jetty fishing or offshore this year, give them some info how they can get a hold of you, Sharky.
Absolutely, man, and I'll have a real good update what's going on inshore on Saturday for you because I've been out the last couple of days. But you can hop on our website. It's Outcast Fishing with no G at the end, charters.com. You can check out our trip packages, pricing, and availability right there on our website. We'd love to get you guys out. Make some memories and man, have a blessed rest of your week, everybody.
Thanks all for right, Michael, in. Rest up.
Yes, sir. Talk to you on Saturday, brother. I'm gonna catch later. Up on some sleep.
All right, buddy. See you, man. Thanks. Later. All right, now let's go up to the Big Sam Rayburn Reservoir. Let's check in with our good friend Randy Dearman. Hey, Randy, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning there, Captain Mick. Everything good?
Oh, that's good. What's going on up in your world?
Well, the crappie are biting pretty good. We're catching box every day now, so.
Good.
Probably won't tomorrow with what I hear about the wind, but they say
it's
in the morning.
It's definitely in the forecast, buddy, for the weekend, too.
I looked at it. It said 15 in the morning, you know, gusting 30, 35. I said, that ain't for me.
No,
but
that ain't no good.
It's going to be good today, you know, this morning anyway.
Yeah, the wind's down here on the coast, too. It's, you know, like 6-7 miles an hour. It's not bad.
But it's good. Good to go out there and be able to bring in a box of fish, you know.
Yes, it is.
So I'm going to be through bass fishing for a while and just catching them eater.
That was bass fishing still hanging in there good. I saw what was that winning fish in the Sealy? 11 something that guy won? $300,000?
Yeah, 11 something. I think there was, I don't know, at least three more over 10, you know. So
you can bet those won some hourly cash.
I don't know. I ain't been catching no big ones. I go out there and catch, you know, we were catching 30 to 50 bass, you know. But I was staying that deep. I don't know. I don't even know how they caught them fish. What they caught them up? You know, still some spawning or what? But they're just having a blast catching numbers. You know, catch 30 to 50 bass, but they would be, you know, a pound and a half to, you know, a little over 3 pounds, and then all of a sudden you hear these giants they were catching. I don't know how they were doing it. I was catching them out there deep, though. You know, people, when they go, they want lots of bites. So I'd rather be out there catching a whole lot of fish and fishing all day and have, you know, one or two bites. But we were catching them out there on worms and Carolina rigs, just having a good time doing it.
Well, that's what you go for. You got to get them bites, man. Bites and pulls.
Sure. That's what.
And you never know when you're going to stumble on one of those big ones just come out of nowhere. You know, I've seen that happen a million times, just like trout fishing.
Yeah.
Up jumps a big bite. But you're going to see, when you have that many people, that many lines in the water, somebody's going to bust a 10, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, that's the law of averages. a lot of lures in the water, buddy.
I don't know how many people there was. I heard there was, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
7,000 or something, you know. So if you if you fish 7,000 days in a row, say, you're probably going to fish.
Exactly.
That's what the odds come down to.
Right. Well, I'm glad your crappie bite's getting going, and I know you spent a lot of, you and your buddy spent a lot of time, you know, making fishing holes.
Yeah, you know, the lake's came up a little. It's probably about 3 foot low now is all.
Right.
It's just, it's been, I'm sure they're going to pull it back down to finish working on the dam. I don't know. But,
yeah.
No matter what, we sunk a lot of new brush, had to put it out, you know, water be deep when the water comes up, but.
Yeah. Well, that's more habitat.
So we'll probably have to redo
fish.
Some of them, but it's a lot of work. We've been.
I got you. All right, buddy. Well, I'm out of time already, Randy. If somebody wants to call you about coming up and getting in on it while it's getting going here, how do they get a hold of you, buddy?
936-328-0864. Have a good one, Captain Mick.
I'll do it, Randy. You do the same, man. Catch him up. See you, bud.
Bye.
All right. That's Randy Dierman up on the Big Sam. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show, but we'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.